man, here we go again. Up early, feed the dog, out the door, traffic, at the office, boss in some kind of mood today, no time for lunch, annoying coworker, no time to relax, bedtime. Then we gotta do it all again? No way. Because the best way to break up the mundane every day is to play at Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Slots, tables, sports, and a whole lot of perks when you join and play with your club wild card. So, let's play Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Clinton.
Does your financial advisor take the time to really listen to you? Is your financial strategy personalized for you and your family? Will your financial advisor be there as your life and financial situation changes? When you work with Edward Jones, they focus on what's important to you. You'll work together and use an established process to create a personalized financial strategy backed by the advice, tools, and resources to help you reach your goals. And they'll partner with you to help your strategy stay on track. Visit EdwardJones.com or stop by the office of Todd Nash in Coralville, Jeff Rudolph, or Scott McGill in Iowa City, or Travis Whitmore in North Liberty. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Hello and welcome to the Hawk Fanatic Mailbag Podcast. I am your host, Rob Howe. We are recording on Tuesday, March the 14th, about 9:15 a.m. Central Time. There, I got that out. Was aiming to start this about 15 minutes ago, but then realized when I let the dog out that he was getting low on treats, which we give him when he comes back from his morning business, and needed to get those ordered. So I didn't get the look when if we run out. And if you're a dog owner, you know what that look is. Where is my treat? Anyway, going to get into some of your questions here. A couple days away from the start, the official start of the Big Ten tournament. You got first four games happening tonight, Tuesday, March the 14th, and tomorrow night in Dayton. And then the full field of 64 gets underway on Thursday with a full slate of games. Iowa, Auburn in Birmingham, 5:50 p.m. approximately on Thursday, March the 16th. We'll see how that shakes out. Haven't dug in a ton yet. Done, you know, statistical looks and things like that, but want to get a chance to watch some of Auburn's games. I don't sit and watch start to finish, but I'll flip around and just kind of get a look at different games, maybe one where they had a really good win and one where maybe it was not so good, to try to get a look at what the Tigers do well when they win and what they don't do well when they lose. It looks like, you know, from a statistical standpoint, it's not a very good team on the offensive end, but a pretty good defensive team. So obviously a contrast of styles with Iowa. Scott Docterman and I on the Hotspot podcast, we recorded that early this week. Did that yesterday, Monday, March the 13th. We dove in pretty deep for both the men and the women. So check that podcast out if you're looking for previews of those games. We hope to do instant reaction podcasts after the men's games, as we did after the Big Ten tournament. Hope to do that on Thursday after the Iowa men play. We'll see who joins me on that podcast. Could be Scott again, could be Pat, could be both. Who knows? A little teaser there for Thursday postgame. Hopefully we're talking about a win. Iowa wrestling gets underway. I believe it's Thursday. Is it Thursday, Friday, Saturday for wrestling? I think so, in Tulsa. Could be wrong on that. Check out HawkeyeSports.com for all of the scheduling. I believe all of the wrestling is televised, too, on various ESPN networks. So check that out as well. Nice to see those guys getting a lot of coverage on TV. The women play host to Southeastern Louisiana. That will be Friday, approximately 3 p.m. The first game starts at 2:30. So, yeah, it's probably maybe a 345, but sold that out in less than an hour yesterday once they went on sale to the public. I know a lot of season ticket holders were able to purchase those tickets last week. My daughter and I grabbed tickets yesterday morning, thankfully, before they sold out. So those are going to be high tickets. I know we have a question about those in the Twitter questions for this podcast, which we should probably get into. Like I said, a lot of the stuff that I start off these podcasts with sometimes, talking a little bit about the various Iowa sports, check out the podcast from yesterday with Scott. We won't do a regular Hotspot podcast on Thursday because of the NCAA tournament, and just we weren't sure where we were going to be and where we were going, so we reset it for yesterday. But again, we should be back Thursday night with a rapid reaction podcast on the Iowa men's game. Probably will not be able to do that for the women's game because we will all be over at the arena for that one on Friday. So check in Thursday night for that. And you can also listen to the flagship podcast, the Hawk Fanatics flagship podcast on KCJJ. That drops on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So as I say most weeks, you can get a Hawk-centric podcast pretty much every day of the business week, Monday through Friday. Again, this week's a little bit juggled. We had two yesterday. We had the Hawk Fanatic flagship and the Hotspot. Today's the mailbag. Tomorrow, we'll go back to the flagship. Thursday, we'll have a rapid reaction after Friday. Again, the flagship podcast. So we got you covered this week, just jumbled around a little bit. So that is that. Let's get into your questions here. Before we do that, I want to let folks know that support for the podcast comes from Systems Unlimited, celebrating 50 years of providing services to people living with disabilities and mental health needs throughout East Central Iowa. A list of their services and upcoming events can be found at sui.org. That is sui.org. We thank you, Systems Unlimited, for the support of the podcast and for the support of the community. Those folks doing great work at Systems Unlimited. Let's pull up questions here. HF Mail. Hashtag HF Mail is how I get to your questions, guys. If you don't use that hashtag, I often don't see your questions and comments. So apologize for that. It just kind of streamlines this for me and makes it a little bit easier. If I have the time, maybe I'll jam through and look at the notifications or responses to the tweet that I send out. That is, soliciting questions and comments from you folks. But, anyway, this is, and again, this means, another PSA here. The hashtag HF Mail works anytime during the week, anytime between when I record a podcast on a given Tuesday to the following Tuesday when I record again. If you miss a podcast, or you know, it's like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of during the week, and you have a question that comes to your mind that you don't think will be stale by the time I record next, use that hashtag HF Mail anytime during the week, and I will go back and I will find where I left off the previous week and then pick it up there. And that's what I'm doing here with JK Hawkeye at JK Hawkeye 71. This is from March 7th, which he must have gotten in right after I recorded last week. But it's still live. So let's talk about it. With plenty of money now being directed to paying off debts and keeping coaches, can we expect to see less money spent on facilities upgrades like the ones badly needed at Carver and Duane Banks Field? It's a fair question. I know there's been talk about, certainly, I think I had another facilities question in here too, and I'll hit on that once I get to it. But or once I scroll to it through my Twitter feed here. But I don't know. I've heard some things on Duane Banks Field being upgraded. It's just like, yeah, we're raising money and when we get to a certain amount of money, we'll be able to do it. But really for a lot of the programs, those upgrades are done through private donations. Like the wrestling, they had a fundraiser, for lack of a better term, or kind of an initiative to raise money to build that extension on Carver, excuse me, Carver Hawkeye Arena for the wrestling facility, I guess you would call it. And it's part of the Carver Hawkeye Arena, but it's kind of its own facility unto itself. So you can check out HawkeyeSports.com for the rendering of that. And been kind of watching it come together each time I go over to Carver Hawkeye Arena. It's a slow burn building that thing. I'm not sure what the completion date estimate was on that. But my guess is they'll go hard here once spring rolls around and into the summer and get a lot of that done, if not completed. I really, again, I'm talking a little bit out of turn here because I don't know what the estimate on completion for that was. But the baseball field could use upgrades. Carver certainly could, but I'm not sure what else you can do to Carver, to be honest with you. I guess you could try to build a concourse midway, because that's really the complaint, right? There's having to walk up and down all those steps, particularly for, you know, if somebody is disabled, older, things like that. It's not very fan friendly. It's not very fan friendly for concessions. So yeah, there's certainly work to be done there. I just don't know if it's imminent. As far as money, the $4 million that they paid off, you know, that's certainly, you would rather not do that in the racial discrimination case. First of all, you would like to not have racial discrimination and bias in your football program. It's a good place to start. And then, you know, obviously not having to pay lawsuits would be nice too. Every, you know, so often, you know, with the Jane Meyer, Tracy Griesbaum and this one and, you know, the other ones that have happened under Gary Barta's watch, there's still a ton of money, and the new TV deal is going to be it's going to be a lot of money, and they're going to have to figure out what they want to do with that money. I think a lot of the donations hopefully get steered towards the Swarm Collective, which allows the coaches to be competitive with the competition in terms of bringing in transfer portal guys and even, you know, high-end high school recruits that are looking to get compensated when they go to a school. So decisions to be made for the coaches, but that money needs to be there in the collective to be able to use if needed. And so I think there's plenty of money. I don't think the money that's coming in should prevent any upgrades to a degree. Obviously, you build a new arena, that's going to be obviously a huge package. But it's not something I follow a whole lot, to be honest with you, JK. I can ask Scott about that on our next podcast. He's into the facilities and does boarding control athletics and all that stuff, or whatever the hell that thing's called now. But yeah, I have not heard anything imminent on Carver beyond wrestling. And Dwayne Banks Field, just money being raised for renovations is usually what you get. So they're constantly trying to bring in money for those renovations. And then sometimes they go to smaller upgrades if they don't feel like that money's trending towards, a bigger upgrade or renovation. So decisions have to be made there as well. Not a great answer. I apologize for that. Not an area that I am well versed in terms of facilities. Trip Manfro. Good to hear from you, Trip. And that's at PFAC51 on Twitter. PFAC51 on Twitter. 2024 Big Ten schedule release before or after Easter 2023. When is Easter? Middle of April, first week of April, something like that. It'll be interesting. The Big Ten schedules are released. We know who they're playing. I think you're talking more about TV schedule wise and when those will be, because your follow-up question has to do with that as well. Excuse me. Sorry about that. I don't have a cough button on my pod machine. I guess I could pause, but I'm too lazy to do that. There was a pause for a coffee sip, much needed. I forget when the TV schedules were released last year. I'm going to say after Easter. you didn't give me your answer, but I will say after. The one thing that makes it a little bit more seamless in terms of figuring out the puzzle is you have one less TV partner in ESPN. You basically have Fox and Big Ten Network figuring out where the games are going to be. So that's easier, and you should be able to have a much easier puzzle to put together in terms of you know, which games are going where and when. And I think as it relates to your second question, Trip, over under number of Hawkeye football night games in 23, you think there'll be two. I think that's a good guess. It's not a great home slate this year. So maybe putting some games at night may bring a little bit more attention to a game against, you know, Illinois at home or Purdue at home or who else they play at home. Minnesota should draw anyway. But no Iowa State, no Nebraska, no Wisconsin. Is Northwestern here? I can't remember. I think it's at Northwestern this year, too. Who else is here? Purdue, Illinois, Michigan State comes here, I think. Maybe, is it Rutgers here? The road games at Penn State. The road schedule is harder than the home schedule this year by far. I mean, it's usually harder to play on the road, but just from a competitive standpoint, the road games are where I think Iowa could run the table at home. So I say the TV schedule being is what? It's we've got, you know, less than a month till Easter, roughly, or around a month till Easter. I think we'll hear after Easter the TV deal, maybe towards the end of spring football when they're getting attention on that. And then over under, I will say I will agree with you, Tripp. How about that? Two night games this year. And I think we're going to see more. The night game isn't what it used to be, right? You know, there are more of them now. It's still cool to play football at night and under the lights at Kinnick Stadium. It's usually an incredible atmosphere, no matter who the opponent is. There are more night games now, so they're not as exclusive and as. You know, it used to be, oh, we're playing at night. Now it's like, oh, that one's a night game. That one's 3:30. That one's 5:30. That one's at 1, although there aren't many of those. That one's at 11. It's just all over the map. And basically what you're doing is, to the previous question of, you know, when the schedule is going to be released, not that question. What was the other question? Facilities and money coming in for that. When you get that much money coming in from a TV partner, they dictate when you play, even more than ever. So Fox, I mean, the conferences certainly have some say. It's a partnership, but this is about putting your marquee games on at a time when, you know, they can be featured. But you also, want to spread them out. So you have a lot of inventory, you know, starting at 11 on, and we talked about this with UCLA and USC coming about. I mean, there's a scenario when they come into the Big Ten that you could have an 11 o'clock game on Saturday, and then just every window have a Big Ten game all the way from 11 in the morning to that late game, maybe on the West Coast at USC or at UCLA. So the Big Ten can pretty much have a piece of inventory in each window on college football Saturdays from start to finish. And that's ideally, that's what you want, right? You want exposure and you want your product out there for advertisers and for TV partners. So I will say after Easter, Trip, and I'm agreeing with you. I know it's a cop out, but I'm going to agree with you on two night games. Well, let's pick them. Let's put Minnesota at night and Illinois or Purdue, one of those two will go at night. We're only including home games, correct, as well? You didn't specify there because there could be some road games at night, but I'll say two at Kinnick next year. Let's take a break, hear from some of our sponsors, and we'll come back and continue on with your questions. Don't have a ton today, but that's okay. We have plenty of podcasts going this week and a lot going on, so a shorter podcast is fine today. But let's hear from a few of our sponsors, and we'll be back on the other side. Hang in there.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483.
Oriza Asian Cuisine and Bar is celebrating its fifth year anniversary. Enjoy Chinese, Vietnamese, Thai, and Korean all combined into one menu. Visit 5 Sturgis Corner Drive next to Staples in Iowa City. Open 11 to 10 every day, 365 days a year, or visit online at arizaic.com.
And we are back. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you guys for hanging in there. The next is from Hayden Maiden at Hayden Maiden 2. Any idea what the next renovation or project will be for the Iowa athletic facilities once the wrestling facility is completed? This feeds into JK's question from last week, so makes a lot of sense. I don't know. The wrestling is obviously the main one right now. That completion, I think football, I haven't heard anything football-wise. Football's pretty well set. Again, I had heard something on Dwayne Banks field upgrades a while back. Let me Google that just to make, Dwayne Banks field renovation. Well, it came up. It looks like this one is from, it's a campaign, the Iowa Baseball Facilities Campaign. And you can find that on, online at hawkeyesports.com/revitalize-dwayne-banks-field/. If you go there, you'll be able to find the campaign, which is entitled Revitalize Dwayne Banks Field. Iowa's only Division I baseball program has been a resounding success under Coach Rick Heller, especially at Dwayne Banks Field. Over the past 9 seasons, Iowa baseball team is 122-41 in Iowa City. To maintain Iowa's home field advantage, we are launching a $20 million renovation to Dwayne Banks Field. Expand seating capacity to 3,000, build a new press box, and enhance fan amenities, including stadium chair seating with expanded seating width and leg room, as well as a greatly expanded restrooms and concessions. And they have artist renderings here. It looks really cool. You know, they have an overhang for the seats where all the seats are now, which is behind home plate and up each baseline. There is an overhang there, and that's where the press box would be as well. So certain fans would be, you know, kept in the shade, away from rain, things like that. It just, if you look at the artist renderings, they look pretty cool. They would definitely bring the field up closer to what the competition looks like. Iowa's field is, I wouldn't say the worst in the Big Ten, but it's towards the back end, and really could use that. So it doesn't say when this was launched, when they launched this campaign. I don't see a date on this, but it is out and it is up there, and they're trying to get $20 million. So I guess if you're looking, you want baseball facility upgrades, kick in some cash, see if you can help Rick Heller and the program get up to $20 million. That's a lot of money for a renovation. I would think that they could do a lot with $20 million. And if you look at these artist renderings, again, at hawkeyesports.com, if you go on the baseball tab rather than punching in all the characters that I gave you, certainly you can go back and do that and get right to it. But cool. They're definitely cool upgrades to the facility. That would be much much appreciated, I think, from pretty much everybody involved. It probably gives the players, if you've been to Twin Peaks Field and seen the locker rooms and things like that, it would just be nice to upgrade. I don't know. Not sure. I haven't heard anything on softball either on that. But Dwayne Banks Field seems to me to be the facility most in need of upgrade over there. Track, they have one home meet a year. So that's not I'm sure they would like upgrade in their facilities to the old rec center and things like that. But I think baseball is probably the next one up. Carver obviously is getting an upgrade from the wrestling standpoint. So I think that's probably all we're going to see with that for now. So I wouldn't expect much over there. And football, after the North End Zone renovation, is probably in pretty good shape for a while. I know people have talked about the South End Zone, but that's relatively new. I'm not sure what else you're looking to do there. I guess you can look to put luxury boxes up. The interesting thing is, if you go to Wisconsin and Camp Randall, they put luxury boxes opposite the press box. If you did that at Kinnick, you would risk obstructing the view from the children's hospital. So you can't really do that. So if you wanted to put more luxury boxes in, you would probably need to do it in the South End Zone. That's the only spot, unless you could figure out a design way to do it on the east side of the stadium. But I'm not an expert at a lot of things, and I'm certainly not one at construction and facility upgrades. Coffee sip. Okay, back at it. Let's see here. We got a couple here from 44M Less. That is 44M, the letter M, Less on Twitter. I find it hilarious that some fans want Fran fired despite what his teams have accomplished. However, I was wondering if you think we're getting to the point in which Fran has done all he can for the program, and maybe it's best for both parties to go in a new direction. That is a multi-layered question. Might it be best for both to go in their own direction? Yeah, it might. Maybe Fran finds a place where he feels like he fits better, although I think he's a pretty good fit here. And maybe the program brings somebody in who can take the program to the next level. The famous term uttered back in the late 90s when Tom Davis was being replaced. Here's the thing for me, and I will bring this up. I should have brought this up before I meant to. Iowa basketball year by year. So if we go into Sports Reference and we pull up Iowa men's basketball year to year, Iowa, if you take the COVID year, which Iowa would have made the tournament, Iowa was 25th in the final poll that year, got as high as 17th. So clearly in the field, that would have been five NCAA tournaments in a row, but dating back to 2018, 2019, Iowa lost in the second round in 18-19 and again in 2021 and then the first round last year, but five in a row NCAA tournaments. Would you like to guess how many times that's happened in program history? I won't keep you in suspense. It's happened twice. Iowa has made the NCAA tournament 5 years in a row twice. They made it 78-83, and then they made it again 84-89. Those are the two stretches there. And that was really, when you talk about just Iowa basketball, there's been some great history. I don't want to say great, but very memorable history throughout the years for men's basketball. You know, the 70 team, you know, the six pack, all those other things that have happened through time. But really, you know, the Lute Olson through George Raveling, early Tom Davis, those were the years where Iowa was You know, you're talking about a regional final, a regional semifinal in that time, a final four, a couple regional, you know, a couple regional semifinals, a regional final, a national semifinal, all kind of in that period. But since then, it just hasn't been that way. Now, Fran made it 3 years in a row, then had 2 year absence, and now has made it 5 years in a row. So you're talking about 8 of the last 10 years, Iowa has been in the tournament. The only stretch that was better than that was 10 out of 12 years from 78 to 89. Is that right? Oh, that's 10 out of 11 years. I can't really count. And then there was a break, 89, 90, and then there were three more trips to the second round, 90 to 93. So you just, I think it's important to have some context to this for people. And I said this last week, that certainly doesn't mean that you couldn't bring in a coach here that is, you know, I don't know. What are you looking for? Are you looking for somebody that is like Izzo, what Izzo's done at Michigan State or what Painter's doing at Purdue? I'm trying to think. If you look at the Big Ten, there really aren't, you know, what Bo Ryan did at Wisconsin. Those are certainly goals. Those are certainly, you know, not in there. It's not impossible for Iowa to achieve that. But we just went back and talked about the facilities. You talk about in-state Division I players. Look at how many Division I Power 5 basketball players in the state compared to football. I'll let you guys do that research yourself. And there's quite a stark contrast there. So it's going to sound like I'm making excuses for Fran, but I also lived through the Alford. You know, I was here for the last 2 years of Tom Davis, all of Alford, all of Licklider, all of Fran. I've covered the team all that time. So I kind of feel like I have a lay of the land, but I also don't want to poo-poo fans who think Iowa can be better than this. Iowa can be better than just making the tournament 5 years in a row. There needs to be, you know, a Big Ten championship in there, regular season, or, you know, some trips to the Sweet 16 a little bit more regularly. I don't know. I mean, it's really about the expectation of each individual fan and then collectively what the majority, how the majority feel. Because that, and sometimes it's not the majority, it's the money. It's the boosters that want change. I don't get that sense at Iowa for either football or men's basketball, that the money guys, the and women, the people that donate the most money are looking for a change. So I don't know. But maybe Fran does find a place that he feels is better for him, and he feels like, you know, it's his time here has run its course and he's done what he can do. I'm not sure. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So Fran has matched Tom Davis. Each has coached 13 years. Next year will be year 14, and I believe that's the longest run. Let's see. Raleigh Williams, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Yeah, 13 is the most. Raleigh Williams, Tom Davis, and now Fran McCaffrey have the most, the longest tenured Iowa men's basketball coaches, 13-year runs. So Fran would take over as the longest head coach, having the longest tenure as a head coach in Iowa men's basketball history. So I don't know where else to go with that question, 44. It really, you know, just to, you know, is it possible that both could benefit from going in different directions? Yeah, but it's also possible that both could regret that decision. There is no, you know, it's not cut and dried, so to speak. 44 MLS is back for another one here. Hi, Rob. Can I give a shout out to BC girls basketball team? Made it to the state finals for the first time, but dealt with adversity. One player lost her dad to cancer, and another has been diagnosed with leukemia, is being treated at UI. Please pray for her and family. Thanks. Yes, definitely. Group HF mail prayer, wishes, happy thoughts, positive vibes, all of those things, for BC girls basketball. Hopefully, those folks, hopefully the person fighting leukemia defeats that awful disease. And certainly condolences to the player who lost her dad to cancer. I can't imagine. Let's take a break on that note and regather ourselves here, and we will finish up the mailbag on the other side. Hear from a couple of our sponsors. Hang in there. We'll be back.
Hi, this is AJ Perez, managing partner at Deary Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Waukee and Iowa City. I'm so proud of our team at both locations. We are committed to one thing, giving our customers the absolute best when it comes to service and a car buying experience, the kind of experience that brings you back. What makes us different? We believe at Deary, we don't just sell cars, we help people buy them.
Do you need a great electrical contractor or fire and water restoration specialist? Well, contact Lance Bolin at LB Electric and LJ Construction in North Liberty. Lance has served the corridor for many years and is ready to help you. Call Lance Bolin at 319-640-1116. That's 319-640-1116. Or visit LJ_construction on Instagram for licensed and insured electrical work, fire and water restoration, and remodeling.
Thank you to those sponsors, and we are back to finish up here. Got a few more, got three more here to get to before we sign off for the week. Clint Harms at Until Game. Good to hear from you, Clint. It's been a while. We were one home win away from being the number two seed in the conference tournament, a conference that's considered rough and physical. Isn't it ironic when the same team plays someone physical in the NCAA tournament, it's considered a bad matchup? I don't know about ironic. I do think that conferences have a tendency to have officials call games a certain way in terms of what they allow. And really what you're looking for in officiating, obviously you want fouls to be called fouls and strikes to be called strikes and penalties to be called penalties. But you can't call every holding penalty in football. You know, baseball, there's, you know, pitch on the black. Sometimes the ump sees it, sometimes he doesn't. You want it to be called, can't always get the right call. Basketball, there are so many fouls that aren't called. So really, it's not just, a straight black and white, you know, this is the way it is when you're officiating. There's, you know, certainly some subjectivity to it. Is considered if it's a really physical game, are you just going to sit there and call every foul and have teams shoot free throws for 4 hours? You can't do that. I think more to the point of Iowa matching up with a team that's less physical in the NCAA tournament being an advantage is more that there's more freedom of movement. And I think in the NCAA tournament, Clint, there's more of a tendency to call fouls and not let the game get too physical, where you're allowing clutching and grabbing and, restricting movement, all of those things. They try to avoid that more in the NCAA tournament for aesthetics and to please the viewers and just to have more flow to a game. I wish it was universal officiating and all conferences were officiated the same and physical play was officiated the same, but it just isn't. That's why you look at who's officiating a game and then you get an idea of, okay, how is this game going to be called? Do these officials have issue with either of the head coaches? Has there been a history there? Things like that. And it all plays. It shouldn't. It should be completely objective and completely history should not matter and take the human element out of it. And everybody should be on the same page, but it just doesn't work that way. So I think I'm not sure that Auburn is a bad matchup physically for Iowa. It's just more of a contrast in styles, whereas Auburn wants to slow the pace. Iowa wants the pace to be faster. And sometimes a slower pace is attached to physical play. That's not always the case. You watch, you know, Virginia and Wisconsin, certainly those teams are physical to a certain degree, but not the same as Michigan State and Rutgers. Different kinds of physicality and different kinds of pace of play. So there's more nuance to it than that. But I wouldn't say Auburn is a bad matchup. I think it's more of a contrast in styles, I would say. Thanks for the question, Clint. Good to hear from you. Don't be a stranger. E at NBA underscore fan underscore 2014, a frequent contributor to the podcast. Appreciate him checking in. Do you think Iowa women's basketball tickets will get cheaper as the week goes on? And no, I don't. I think there's going to be a higher demand. I could be wrong on that. I don't follow the secondary ticket market at all. And I got tickets for myself and our youngest child. She wants to go. So I have a press pass as well. So I bought a ticket for myself, though, so I can maybe shoot photos of the first half and sit with her in the second half. May also have her bring one of her friends to use my ticket, and they can hang out and get Carver cones, and I'll shoot both halves of Friday's game. But it's great to see. It's great to see those tickets sold out quickly, and it's great to see that there's a high demand to see women's basketball in town here in this state. Caitlin Clark and company have done wonders for the sport, not only in the state, but nationally. And it is awesome to see. I remember when I first got here in 97, I was the beat writer for that team. And that was a team that had Vivian didn't put the label on him, but others called the Women's Fab Five recruiting class with Tiffany Gooden, Angela Hamlin, Nadine Damone, Tangela Smith, and I always forget that fifth one. I can see her face, too. Malika Willis? I think that's right. I apologize if it isn't, but that five-player recruiting class. And they ended up, I believe Tangela Smith was the player of the year. Her senior year was my first year covering, and Angelique was the coach then, but it was cool to see. It's cool to see how far this program has come and how consistently good it is. How far will they and the men get in March Madness? I have not filled out my brackets yet. I think the women get out of Iowa City and the men beat Auburn. I haven't gotten past that yet. So I know that's a cop out, but I haven't reached the stage of making predictions yet. Sorry about that, E. Who do you have winning your bracket? Again, I have not filled that out. And who will be the MVP of each team's first game? That one I can answer. Caitlin Clark will be the MVP for the women and Chris Murray for the men. I'm going out on a limb there, folks. Take it to the bank. I don't know if there are any props on that, but, I'm sure there are statistical props you can bet on everything out there. So Hawkeye Sanity at Hawkeye Sanity on Twitter. If the Iowa men don't make the Sweet 16, I feel like many Iowa fans are ready for a change at coach. Fran has done great things for Iowa basketball, but I feel there is some definite Fran fatigue. Are we crazy for wanting a change after four straight tournament appearances? It's actually five if you add the COVID year, but semantics, right? I wouldn't call anybody crazy. Again, this is an individual thing and then a collective thing. Each individual fan has to have, you know, their own expectations, his or her own expectations. And then beyond that, what is the collective, what is the hive feeling of a coach? And then you have the big donors who also factor into it. What's the AD dynamic? All of those things come into play. I certainly understand it. I mean, you get to that second weekend and your team, again, two times in the last 34 years, Iowa has made the Sweet 16. Connor McCaffrey was not yet a year old the last time Iowa made the Sweet 16. He will be 25 this summer. So that puts into context what the history is here. Now, you can say, well, we can't just settle for what we've got, we've had through history. We need to aim higher. Fine, you can do that. They did that with Tom Davis when they brought Steve Alford in. That didn't work out. That's not to say it would not work out now. It's not to say anybody who feels like Iowa needs to make a change at coach is wrong. That's your opinion. Those are your expectations. I think it would be really hard to fire a coach who made four in a row, qualified for five in a row, which is the most in the history of the program. But, you know, Wisconsin fired Paul Christ, football coach. You see a lot of, I don't say a lot, but there are cases where programs aren't happy with what might be perceived as pretty good. They want great or they want exceptional. I can't blame people for that. I am not a college. I'm not a fan of any college sports team. And my pro sports allegiances have waned somewhat. For those that don't know, and maybe care a little bit, probably most of you don't care. But Mets, Jets, Knicks, and Islanders. I grew up in New York and on the East Coast. Those are my teams. I used to, I don't want to say live and die, but I mean, it used to change my, it would change my mood when one of my teams would lose. I'm very far past that now. I love when my teams do well. It's great. If they lose, I move on. But I know that's not maybe typical of fandom. And fans do get fatigued and they do want change. But you don't want to just make change for change's sake. Now, if you told me Iowa was going to get this coach X to come in, I could think to myself, well, maybe that person is built to take this program beyond where Fran has it. But I thought that back when they hired Steve Alford. Now, again, I was a lot younger then, and I've learned a lot in the 20 plus years since then in terms of, I think I have a better grasp on, I think a lot of times with coaches, it's about fit, who fits where. You know, Greg McDermott fit at UNI. He didn't fit at Iowa State. He fits at Creighton. Does that make sense? I don't know. Does it? You know, there have been coaches that, you know, Todd Licklider fit at Butler. Now, there are a lot of dynamics and nuance to this. He did not fit here. Steve Alford, we're not even going to go there. I don't know where he fits, but it's about fit, and that's what's important. And I think Fran McCaffrey fits pretty well here. I think Kirk Ferentz fits pretty well here. When I say fit, they fit the culture of the university. They fit the culture of the fan base and the state. People are like-minded in that regard. So kind of my thoughts on that. I think it's natural at this time of year, especially when you consider Iowa could have been the two seed with a win against Nebraska. Didn't happen. First round exit in the Big Ten tournament. I think the fans are licking their wounds right now, Iowa basketball fans. I think if Fran can get a couple wins here and get the team to the Sweet 16 for the first time, since Tom Davis did it almost a quarter of a century ago, you know, I think that washes away a lot of the disappointment for Iowa fans to be able to watch their team on that second weekend. Quite a few fans that have never seen it, that have never witnessed it in their lifetime. Some of the younger fans watching their team play in the Sweet 16. Because if you figure back then, you would have had to been what, at least 7-8 years old to remember. So those people were born in the early 90s. It's pretty crazy, right? that's a good note to get out here, get out of here on. Got through all of your questions. Thank you, everybody, for sending them in. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast. Thank you especially to our sponsors that allow us to bring you these podcasts for free. Please subscribe to the Hawk Fanatic feed. Get these sent to your feeds, your podcast feeds, automatically downloaded, what have you, so you have them as soon as we post them. Appreciate everybody for listening. Have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the games this week. Enjoy the tournament. Best of luck in your bracket pools. I know I won't win mine, but I'll enter anyway for the fun of it, right? So thanks again, everybody. We will talk to you next week. Until then, peace.